changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Do I Not Matter Telesummit, where we are elevating mindsets on the topic of Do I Not Matter. So, Vanessa, tell us about our guest today.
Oh, my God. I am so excited. Like, there's no tomorrow. I'm a kid in a candy store, so this is such an honor to be able to have this amazing lady to be able to grace us with her wisdom, to be able to pour something into me that I know she's going to be able to pour into you guys. And we could go on and on about her, but we're not going to do that. She's an entrepreneur. She is a mother. She is a person who she could drop some knowledge like there's no tomorrow. The mother of Dr. Ikeena Finch, Larissa Meccan. I butchered your names. I'm sorry. Kanisha? Say that again. Loretta McKenzie. Please forgive me. I think I'm in the business of butchering names, not my intentions. But it's such an honor to be able to have her join us tonight. Loretta, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It's such an honor to be able to have you.
Thank you.
So, Loretta, I have to ask this question. When you was approached with a Do I Not Matter to join us on this telesummit, what did you think when you heard of the Do I Not Matter? Have you ever experienced a point in your life where you felt as if you did not matter?
So many times. Actually, what I thought about was how I would approach this, because I'm not really wanting to be Pope pitiful, but some of it was that type of situation. So, but then again, it made me who I am today, basically. You want me to go on and share with you now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to preface this with my mother. My mother was a very pretty black woman. Her whole situation revolved around her looks. And being that she was a pretty woman, most everything she wanted, she was able to get. Okay, let's talk about not being, about me feeling not significant. We're going to start out with the first thing. You know, the first thing I heard from my mother about me as a child was how nappy my head was and how she always tried to keep hats on my head, and I didn't want the hat on my head. I mean, that was one of the first memories that I have about that. And then again, she would tell in mixed company that she really didn't want children, but because of homosexuality in the family, she wanted to just make sure everybody knew she wasn't homosexual. Let me say that. So she said all she intended to do was just have one kid. And then, boom, it was me, the first one. She tells the story about how I hurt her so bad in labor. And then when they brought her to me, now, mind you, she picked my father. She picked him because the man she was really in love with wasn't ready to get married, so since father was enthralled with her, she decided to choose him, this dark man with nappy hair, okay? So when the baby comes and it hurts her so bad and everything, the first thing she says is, something wrong with her eye because it still had matter on my eye or something. Now, she tells this story in mixed company. Okay, every chance she got. It had matter on my eye, and she looked at me, and she said, "What's wrong with her eye?" They said, "Ma'am, there's nothing wrong with her eye." "Well, take her out of here. I can't do this. I can't do this." This is in mixed company. This is your first child. I remember when I gave birth to Akina, it was the happiest day of my life. I was just, you know, gaga looking at her. But me, and laugh about it. How insignificant am I supposed to feel? It's just, that's one of the main issues, you know, that kind of, I was always trying to please her. I was always trying to do the best. I had to do the best because I was the first. I was the oldest. I was in charge of my other brothers and sisters when they came and everything. But that kind of thing just stayed in my mind. But then there were other issues. Seeing as how I was nothing at home, when I did go to school, I had to be the best. I was wanted to be the smartest in the class. I was the one that took charge of projects, you know, everything. Because of this, you know, that insignificant. But being how I wanted to please her with all I did pushed me to do all that I've done. So that's one of the main situations that I've had. It was always in her shadow, like, but yet and still you wouldn't know that if you knew me. Because most people say, you know, I tend to be a little anal because what I want when I want it. But in her eyesight, it was like, "You're lazy, I don't know where you came from." That's another thing she used to say to me all the time. "I don't know where you came from because your dad is not like you at all, and definitely not me." I mean, but you have to push all that aside and continue on. And that's the stepping on years along, because I was 30 when I had Akina. Well, I turned 34 days later. All I wanted to do was her to be the best at all times. And maybe it wasn't right, but it kind of got her, you know, somewhere. She's a pretty good kid, you know.
That is, well, thank you, Mother. I appreciate you. So, you know, the question is, how did that affect your parenting style with me having the parenting that you had?
Well, like I just said, mostly I did a whole lot of encouragement, and I still try to encourage young people to be all they can be. I can't deal with slothness. I just can't. And we had this thing when Akina was little. We didn't accept C's in the house. You know, it was just redundant. She just, it was pointless. And B's were okay, but I used to tell her all the time, it's no need for it, because if she was retarded or she was slow or she had some issues, then maybe we could talk about a C or something like that. But no, we don't do C's. And some people seem to think that maybe I was a little too hard with my parenting, but I knew her potential. And it just made me, because I've been Team Akina since she got here. And because nobody was Team Loretta. Well, my grandmother, when she would come in town, she, you know, lived in Cleveland, Ohio, but when she would come in town, then you know, I was shining because I was on it. And maybe that's the reason why I kind of pushed her. But since how she's doing well, she has PhD and all this, and when my head get cold, then she can take care of her own self, you know. And it's not like I'm leaving her with a string of babies and stuff. You know, actually, if she will work, she can work. So that's part of my issue with the way I raised my daughter. Hopefully it was okay.
Man, you are really, really tapping into something that I can relate to oh so well. And sometimes being a parent, your words could really cut a child to its core. And they will carry that on until their life, if someone is not bold enough to stop them from repeating that same cycle. And it made me think about a moment when my father would pick up my brothers but would not pick me up. And it was on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, we have the same parents, but how is it that you could pick up the boys but you not put me up? Do I not matter? How can you communicate with them but don't communicate with me? And I'm your daughter. Not only your daughter, but I'm your first daughter. And then to be able to not truly share as to why would that happen. I understand it now, but when you come from broken parents, they will find a way to pick apart each other, but at the same time, they pick it apart the child as well. And
that's
where,
true.
And I can relate to that. And it's painful. It's a painful feeling. And so imagine how many more people are going around feeling that way, and it's commendable for you to still keep on encouraging, continue to break that cycle, to continue to show your daughter that she does matter, continue to pour into her those things that you know that needs to be poured into her, to continue to be hard on her because you know someone had what they've done to you. So that right there alone, my goodness, thank you. Thank you so much.
So my goodness.
One of the questions that I would have for you is to tell your younger self. So this feeling that you had, that the things that your mother done said to you that that hit your core, what would you tell your younger self now with the wisdom that you have right now?
I think I would tell me, hold on. Hold on, continue, don't settle. I pushed a long, long time. Because not having a father, and a lot of times this happens to young girls that don't have a father figure so much in their life, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And my idea was not to be what the other little, quote-unquote, fast girls were in the neighborhood. And I did that for a long, long time, but then as I got older, and I guess the hormones or whatever, you know, did that. But I wish I could go back to then and say it's not necessary right now. I just wish I could tell me it's not necessary. Just let him go on. Holler, hey, you know, I just wish I could tell me that.
Wow. That's a good nugget, I have to say. And, you know, we have a lot of people listening on the line, and they're actually chatting in the chat box. And I want to let you know what they're saying to you. Mm-hmm. They're saying, Mama got the juice. High expectations, right parent focus. She learned from everything and produced her queendom. Ooh, go, Mama. They said, powerful. It said, come on, mama, teach that old school mentality. You know, they're feeling what you're saying. Mama is a queen. I agree. My mama is something else. And, you know, I don't think I'd be where I could have been, where I'm going, if she wasn't there. She had that, the wisdom to see past me wanting to be normal. And she realized that she didn't have a normal child. She did not have an ordinary child. She had an extraordinary child, and she knew that she had to raise me in a different way. And she kept me away from a lot of things. People would be like, well, oh, you just sheltering her. No, you, no. Get in the house. Go home. You know, every time I thought about doing something, she was there, ladies and gentlemen. And if she couldn't be there, she sent a representative. That being said, what do you say to these parents who want, and I know this is a spot for her, so y'all getting ready to get some nuggets. What do you say to these parents that want to be their children's friend? Here we go.
You are the parent. You are the parent. You are in charge of her. From inception till death, seriously, a mother, a real mother, is in charge. Your idea is to guide them. The friend part and the trying to be young and this and that and the other stop when you lay down and got the baby. Come on. It's about this child. You did this. You should make the best for this child. It's about them. I'm not saying that the parents shouldn't or can't go on with their life, but their main focus, number one at the list, A, you know, is the child. And I feel like a lot of people, if they put more emphasis in the children rather than trying to be a hooly-dooly somebody or something, you know, still trying to be young or whatever. Even the young ones, think about it. You got a baby now. Get your act together. If you got help, if you don't have help, you can still do. They got school online. They got everything. My idea is to enhance. It's pointless to be here and not do nothing with yourself. I mean, I listened to these little girls I sold for years, and some of them would come in and they'd be talking, and I'd be like, really? You know, and they don't even know. Nobody's told them. And sometimes if I even just show them about how you could do this or do that, nobody's ever said that to them, you know. No, there's no friends. There ain't no friends, you know. Get you a friend.
She said, no, no, get you a friend. I love that. My kids will always tell me that I'm so mean by the things that I say. And I tell them, we have plenty of opportunities to be a friend, but right now I'm going to be your mother. And the parents got to understand that we only get these children for a certain amount of time. We have to pour into them as much as we can, because that time will pass by before you know it, and then you want to look back and be shoulda, coulda, and some woulda. And you don't have time for that. You need to pour into these children to make them better so they could be able to come back and take care of you when that time is needed. So that alone, I'm loving this wisdom.
Not necessarily take care of me, be able to take care of yourself.
That's you got to take care of yourself. Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
Let them grow up to be able to take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
But
if that time comes when they want to, because, you know, my children are getting a little bit older now, and they always want to be like, Mama, I want to take care of you. So they always like, you know, this giving back to the things that I've done for them. So if it's like, you know how you always take your children out to dinner, they always want to surprise me and say, you know what, let's go out to dinner. That type of thing of take care of you is just giving their appreciation of how you raise your child versus being their friend.
Well, I think maybe we missed that line because this girl over there, she, we didn't get in that line. No, it's mama, you know, is the committee, you know. And she still thinks that mama is the committee, you know. But it's
okay,
good.
Well,
it's good.
You know, everybody has is learns along the way of raising these children. And that's the most important thing, is making sure these children are instilled with what they need so they can be able to go off and be great leaders of this world.
That's it, because our mantra was, I go to work and make the money, you go to school and make the grades.
And then
when she got a job and worked more than 2 weeks, we all was about to stretch. And the child been working ever since.
It's because of what you poured into her.
Yeah,
you didn't enable
her.
You poured into her. That's amazing.
Yeah,
because this generation, if you think about it, mama, this generation is enabled.
Yeah,
you didn't do
yeah.
that. You was like, oh, absolutely not. They feel they entitled. They feel that somebody owes them something. And that's why I'm loving what you're saying, because they need to take it back to the old school.
Because when she was in school, she always had perfect attendance, because the idea was you go, and if you get so sick, then I'll come get you. But you're going go. You know, we don't, unless I saw where my child was really in distress. Now, I'm not saying that. But you know how they can see a game, okay, you know.
Oh, yeah. What
and then
wisdom
most of
would
the time,
you...
she knew that I couldn't get off from work, so what else is to call to know her? And I had to go to work.
What wisdom would you give this generation now with raising these children?
Oh, Lord. Prayer first. Put God in it. You got to put God in it. You need to have God, and then instill principles into your children. Because now this generation is, if it feel good, do it. And I think that's just redundant. That leads into so many different avenues of evil. No, I think they have the Bible, the principles of the Bible, that would encompass everything. I really do. And then again, another thing is, resourceful?
Yeah, resourceful.
Okay. Just because you always lived in the project don't mean you got to stay there. You know, let's move. Let's go buy a house. It's ways. Check on it, you know. Don't just keep doing the same thing because so-and-so, that's all we ever did. No. You know, don't worry about it, because I remember when Akina left middle school, she decided she wanted to be in the band. And when she went to this school, I think she was coming home every day saying, oh, mama, they be talking about me, they say I talk like a white girl. And then she come up in here like telling me something about like a mug or something. I'm like, excuse you? What are you saying? These kind of things, just instill it in them. If you don't know, then go on YouTube and find out or somewhere to give your child more than you have. That's what it's about, lifting. Let's go higher. Higher. Ain't nothing wrong with going high. That's what I would say, God and being resourceful.
Wow. I like your nugget. I like it. And everybody is
screaming over here. They're saying, where is Mama's book of wisdom? When Mama going to put her book out? And she's looking at me like, I'm crazy, y'all. But I want to ask you the final question of the evening. So tell them about how they can find you and what you do and what you have going coming up in the future.
Okay, right now, I'm if you want to email me or something, I don't have a smartphone and all that good stuff, but I just got the free old folks phone. But if you wanted to find me, I'm at sewingtoplease@bellsouth.net. And right now, I'm in twixt and between. I don't know. I started to doing doll clothes for the American Girl, and I was going to doll shows and stuff. But then my mom got sick, and that kind of cut that off. And right now, I just mostly I'm doing sewing for some of my church members. And then I have customers that I've had down through the years. But basically, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm thinking about starting a sewing class. Everybody keep wanting me to do that. So that's it. That's where I am, and I'm Loretta McKissick. Akina's mom.
That is so cool. You know, I want to share with you something she did not share. She has actually been sewing since she was age 14. She is the owner of Sewing to Please. She has sewn for celebrities, senators, you name it. So she's been downplaying herself a little bit. But the main thing I want y'all to know about my mother is this relationship she had with her mother was not a short one. Her mother lived to be 87 years old, which means she was 67 when her mother died. So this was a 67-year relationship. This is something that she grew up with since she came in the world. And so I want y'all to really get the focus of this. How would you feeling like, do I not matter for 67 years? So I want y'all to get the magnitude, but because she knew that feeling, she didn't want her child to feel the same way. And so she went above and beyond to make sure that I didn't. So I want to thank her so very much for all her services because, you know, she says I think of her as the committee. But I call her the parental unit. Because, you know, she's about that life. She stays on me. So, Vanessa, we would love to hear your final words, my sister.
Well, first of all, honored to be in your presence and you dropping nuggets like never before. And I understand all so well because I have that same type of relationship with my mom to this day. So it's good to understand that there are other people that understand and can relate. I thank you for being so transparent and sharing your story. And I look for many more stories for you to be able to share with us. And for any of you guys who love the message, let us know. We would love to hear from you and stay connected with you. You can find Dr. Finch and I on Change Your Minds online, all over social media. Stay tuned for many more things that we have in the works, and we are just beginning.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this segment of Do I Not Matter Telesummit. Tomorrow will be just as phenomenal as Monday, as Tuesday, and we're going to bring it in on Wednesday and Thursday. And, of course, Friday, we have a special surprise for all of you. So until next time, good night, everyone.
Good night.